Blog Talk Radio.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't stay, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain, when you're up on the mountain, the talk comes so easy. When life's at its best, now it's down in the valley. Trials and temptations, that's where you'll face.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're coming to you live from Imperial Beach, California. This is the Sound Doctrine broadcast. I'm Dr. Ventura. I'd like to welcome the listening audience from Connecticut and from around the country in Florida and overseas in Europe, and those who have chatted with us and sent us messages. I want to thank the supporters, and we just want to praise the Lord tonight, and I hope to bring you something tonight that's going to touch your life, something that will open your spiritual eyes and ears, and we'll ask the Lord to give us something here that we could use and that is practical for our lives, and not just for today, but for every day. We're living in a time period called the Laodicean Age. If you believe your Bible, unless you have bibliophobia and you're afraid to read that thing. And the problem today, we talked about this in previous teachings. We studied those seven churches of Revelations. We know that doctrinally they were tribulation churches, but they have a spiritual application, and they also have a historical application. And we're going to take our text tonight out of Revelations chapter 3, 14-20, and the title of this teaching is The Characteristics of a False Prophet, a Heretic, or Apostate. And we have false prophets, we have heretics, and we have apostates in the church today and around the world, and they're trying to tell people they're preaching the gospel, and they're not. They're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this evening, and we're going to see if we can enlighten ourselves a little bit and enjoy ourselves and have some fellowship here. We'll go till about 6:30, and then I'll take a little break for a minute and give you an opportunity, if you want to call in, we'll give you the phone number and contact information for the Sound Doctrine broadcast, brought to you by, of course, you know, Nathan on the Spot and Enterprise Media. And I'm a guest here on the program, and glad to be here this evening with you. And so let us have a prayer, and we'll see if we can, take the chair out from under the devil tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, we bow down before you, and we just praise you, Lord, and we thank you for getting us through the holidays, and we thank you, Lord, for that we're here today and for watching over us last night while we slept because we didn't know what was going on, and you're a merciful and great God, and we just praise you. God, we ask you that tonight you'd not let the flesh get involved, Lord, that you'd set aside my flesh, that you'd flow through me, Father God, and that you would touch the people out there that are listening, Lord, that have come to you to hear your word tonight, Lord, and that, Lord, they would hear what they haven't heard from other preachers, Lord, that are afraid to preach the truth, and Almighty God, what's told tonight and preached would glorify you, and what is taught would glorify you, and we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. What a precious name, the name of Jesus. Well, our text comes out of Revelations chapter 3, verses 14 to verse 20, and the scripture says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because I'll say it, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Now, we need to consider a couple things here, praise the Lord, in this passage. The first thing is that this church is Laodicea. And Laodicea, when we studied the churches, we learned that Laodicea means the laity over the people, or the rights of the people. And today people have rights. You want to preach the gospel and they want you to not preach it. You want to have a cross up and they want you to take the cross down because They have rights. They have rights. They can do what they want because they have rights. They've removed the Bible from the schools, and they've put in value judgment and value judgment systems and core curriculums without God, and there's no moral standard and there's no moral teaching because they don't want to offend because children have rights. And it's, you know, where's God's rights in these things? That's what I would like to know. Where is God's rights? And we're in an ungodly time, and this church of Laodicea is the last church of the seven churches in the church age, because if you have your Bible open, you look at chapter 4, verse 1, it says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first verse which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will shew thee things. And, you know, verse 2 says, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and before the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sitting on the throne. And so there's a rapture. A door opens in heaven. And that's a type of the rapture. And so you see that last church age ends. And when we get all the way down to this is a lukewarm church. It's neither hot nor cold. Now, I was talking with a pastor today about that. I've spoken with pastors last week about that. And our churches are becoming religious. People are becoming religious. They're accepting anything. They're accepting any speech. They know when, you know, two songs and then shake the hands of the person next to you and then hallelujah, sit down and we'll sing in the rest of the song. And then before the preacher's done preaching, they got out their Bibles covers and they're zipping them up, and the preacher can hear them from up there. Can you hear that? Because the preacher can hear you, my friend, when you're zipping up that zipper, and he's not even done preaching yet, but you figure that's the time, it's an hour, the service is over, you're ready to go home. That's because you're religious, and we've got too much religion in the church. You know, it looks good on the outside. We've got the right Bible. We've got the right clothes. We've got the right attitude. We've got the right look. We even got the right name on the back of the church, in the front of the church, and on our buses. And you know what? The problem is that we look like sepulchres. We're a great-looking cemetery. It's nice and mowed, and it's green, and it's clean, and the tombstones are shiny, but inside it's full of dead men's bones, and that's the church of today, and that's what God's talking about here in the book of Revelations. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open. This is the only place in the Bible, the only place in the time in history where Jesus Christ is standing outside of his own church. He's outside of the church because it's a lukewarm church, and it's not adhering to the doctrines of the gospel. They're using new Bibles. They're using NIVs. They're using NLTs, and they're using New King James Versions, and they're using all these Bibles that are not the Word of God, and God isn't part of that. Amen. And tonight we're going to talk about the characteristics of a false prophet, a heretic, or an apostate. And if you want to get angry, you don't get angry with me. Get angry with God, because I'm giving you God's word and God's message and the scriptures. I'm going to read the scriptures, and you'll know that they came from the Bible. They're not out of context. A scripture out of context is a pretext, and we don't preach pretexts on sound doctrine. Amen? Characters of a false prophet, a heretic, or an apostate. The first characteristic is they minimize sin. They minimize sin. Number two, they humanize God. They humanize God. They want to tell you that God, he's such a loving and merciful God, wouldn't put anybody in hell. That's a lie. They deify man. You know, they deify man. That man is going to solve, science is going to solve all the problems in the world. Listen, all the science for 4,000, 6,000 years of human history, and they haven't solved disease, and they haven't solved pollution, and they haven't solved the devolution. All the world is going down. Man is not going to solve the problems of the world. That's a lie. They teach atonement. They teach self-atonement. Self-atonement. You can earn your way to heaven. There's another lie. They don't preach repentance because they're afraid to run the people out of the church. Listen, I'd rather do like Wesley and go stand in a cemetery and put my Bible on a gravestone and preach to the whole dead people than go to a church that's pretending that they love the Lord Jesus Christ and isn't going to listen to the pastor anyway because they're just as dead. Amen. and those pastors that don't preach repentance, and then they seldom talk about hell. We want to talk about love. We want to have a fuzzy-wuzzy. You came to church to get fuzzy-wuzzy. Hey, listen, the pastor's the pizza delivery boy. All he's doing is bringing the word of God, and how you eat that pizza's up to you, my friend, but you answer for how you eat it. The more light you have, the more responsibility. People seldom talk about hell. Here's another one. They use or they recommend corrupt Bibles, RVs, New King James Version, NIV, Messages, NLB, New World Translation, all this nonsense. Revised Version, Revised Standard Version. They come out with a Bible every other month. New Rainbow Standard. You better look at the difference, because the NIV is 60,000 words less than a King James Bible. That's right, 60,000 words. And you need to find out what they took out, because I'll tell you what they took out, and we've discussed it before on this program. They've taken out the blood of Jesus Christ. You go look at 1 John 5, 7, and 8, and compare that in an NIV. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 14, they throw Jesus Christ out of heaven. It says the morning star was cast down. Revelation 22 says, I am the bright and morning star. Jesus Christ is the morning star. And if the Bible's corrupt and the pastor's preaching out of that Bible, then the pastor's corrupt. You either need to face up to it and own up to it and tell the pastor to get himself a King James Bible or get out of that church because you know it's wrong and you're participating in his sin. There's something wrong with a man that's using those new Bibles. Jerry Falwell, the last words out of Jerry Falwell's mouth that I remember was he was standing at the pulpit and he said to his people, I use a King James Bible. You can use whatever you want. And I'll tell you, my friends, the very next day, Falwell was dead. Lord, have mercy. God's tired of this stuff. Characteristics of a false prophet, a heretic, or an apostate. Here's another one. They teach ecumenicism. We can all come together, all the religions of the world, and believe whatever we want, and it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter, and Jesus Christ says it matters. Now, let's look at how to identify these false prophets. We need to know them. They're in our churches. They're in the world. They're on the TV. They're smiling at us. They're taking our... Why, I saw a television program the other night where some preacher was selling oil. And you can buy this miracle oil, and you get this miracle oil, and you get 20 miracles out of one bottle. And people are sending them money. What is wrong with God's people? My people are mad upon their idols, says Jeremiah. Lord, have mercy. And they don't like the way you preach. You're too hard, preacher. No, you're too soft on sin, my brother. How do I see a false prophet? Number one, you know them by their fruit. Fruit is an outward growth of what is within the Christian. When you look at a fruit tree, you don't go inside the tree to get the fruit. It grows on the outside. Amen. Matthew 9, 15 to 20 says, Jesus Christ speaking, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly there are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit is every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. By their fruits ye shall know them. So number one, you should know them by their fruits, their outward growth of what is within. Number two, you ID a false prophet by their preaching, by their teaching, because their emphasis is on works more than on relationships. Colossians 2:8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Jesus Christ, not after Christ. Amen. Listen, they're not preaching your relationship with Jesus Christ. All you got to do is have works. Listen, works are the production, works are the fruit that occur after you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Mark 7, 9 through 13, Jesus said, and he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own traditions, making the word of God none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things to ye. Excuse me. And I want you to know something. There's a lot of traditions out there. They don't belong in the church. Hey, listen, people are afraid to admit the truth, but the truth is, what are you doing with the carnival at the church? Doesn't the word carnival contain the word carnal? Carnal? Got bingo in the basement? You're gambling in God's church? You're saying that justifies the ends? The means justifies the ends? We're just raising money? Well, raise money according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and don't go bringing gambling into your church. My God, what's the matter with you people? Lord have mercy. Boy, we need rock and roll and rap. We need Christian rap. We need Christian rock. Hey, listen, you need to get down to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's what the Bible says. You stop listening to them false teachers. My goodness, how are you going to glorify God with that stuff? Well, that's because you got those new Bibles, and you modernized your church, and you modernized the new Bibles, and you brought that modern stuff into your church because you think, well, you got to reach a modern world, and God's outdated, and the ways of God are outdated, and the Word of God is outdated, and he's got to be modernized with the rest of the world to stay in step. I got news for you. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He didn't say go out and modernize your church and go and bring that rap and nonsense into your church. That doesn't glorify God. You're bringing the world in your church. And then you want to know why your people can't even go out soul in it, because they're full of the world. They don't know the difference. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. They preach teaching and their emphasis is on works more than relationship. Here's another idea of a false prophet. Some can perform miracles. Did you know that? Some of them can perform miracles in Jesus' name. You say, brother, how can a false prophet do that? Well, Judas Iscariot did it, and the Lord said he was the devil. Amen. Acts says he went to his own place, and I want you to know his own place was hell. Yet he did miracles in Jesus' name. Matthew 7, 22 to 23 says, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Lord, have mercy. You know, God, we serve a mighty, mighty God. Here's another thing they do. They teach, they preach world peace and common ground. World peace and common ground. You know what the Lord said. You go to Matthew 10, verse 34. The Lord says, think not that I have come to send peace on the earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword. Amen. Peace. You want world peace. You don't want peace with God. You go over to Matthew with me, if you would, please, and we'll read something together. And you say, well, Pastor, you're awful hard. No, you're awful soft. Cut it out. You're playing with God. Quit playing with God. Quit playing with God. Go soul winning 7 days a week. Go soul winning once a week. Pretend you went soul winning. Lord have mercy. Matthew 10, 32 says, you with me? Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth not after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Lord, have mercy. Listen, Jesus Christ said that he didn't come to bring peace on earth. In the earth you'll have tribulation. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father. Well, why? What is the Lord talking about? Well, now, if you live in a house full of Roman Catholicism, or Buddhism, or Islamism, and you go in that house and say, I received Jesus Christ, and I'm a born-again Christian, those people are not going to accept you, whether they're your father or your mother. In Islam, they want to kill you. You're afraid to suffer for Christ. The scripture says that. But men are preaching peace on earth, and they're preaching, can't we all just get along and set apart our differences? Those men, I'm telling you, are heretics and raven wolves in sheep's clothing. Jesus Christ said in John 14, 27, peace I live with you. That I leave with you. That's the peace of God. My peace I give unto you. That's the peace of God. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Don't you know to have peace in the world you have to compromise? Lord have mercy. There's no compromise in Christ. John 16, 33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. to be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Listen, if you're out there preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're going to have tribulation. Some of you are afraid to lose your friends. Some of you are afraid to tell somebody about Jesus. Well, they won't accept it. Well, listen, it's still your responsibility. You're the watchman. And you're then the day of the white throne judgment when those people show up and they didn't receive Jesus Christ because you hadn't told them the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have to answer for that. You have to answer for it. You'll answer for it at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. We are the watchmen. I cannot emphasize the importance that people today are so selfish they don't have a burden for other lost souls. People around them are going to hell. They'll allow a man to stand next to them and swear and curse and know that the Holy Spirit lives in them, that they're the temple of God, and they'll stand there and they'll allow these people to say these filthy, stinking words, and you know what? They won't even say, sir, you swear a lot. You need to quit swearing or just walk away. Where you go, my friend? Well, sir, you have a foul mouth. Well, pardon my French. Well, I got news for you. Parlez vous français. That's not French, my friend. You're swearing. I speak French. Not a lot of it, but I know enough of it. And I'll tell you what, they're not speaking French. And you let them say that stuff around you. You compromise your Christian walk because you're afraid to offend them. Blessed are those who are not offended, Jesus Christ said. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the Lord, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. There is no peace on earth, my friend, until the Prince of Peace sets up his kingdom upon the earth in the millennium reign. You're going to have wars and rumors of wars. It's going to happen. Men who are preaching and teaching the building of this kingdom of God on earth through peace are liars. They cannot rightly divide the word of God. After the rapture, the world's going to enter into a period of time known in biblical prophecy as Daniel's 70th week. And it will not be a time of peace on this earth. For 7 years, there will be tribulation on the earth. Now, the Antichrist will come up with a false priest for the peace for the first 3.5 years. But when you hit that 3.5 year mark, you go into what Jesus Christ said was great tribulation in Matthew 24, such as never was before on the earth. You want to call that peace? Jesus Christ said, so then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now I ask you, friend, that's the word of God. Does that sound to you like you're about to have peace on earth? Lord have mercy. Zechariah 14 says, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. All nations, no exceptions, all nations will come against Jerusalem for battle. It is prophesied. It is the word of God. It has to be true. Amen. All nations, no exceptions. Revelation 16, 13 and 14 says, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of a dragon. You know how frogs are. That's the satanic trinity, a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are the spirits of devils. What are they doing? Working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle on the great day of God Almighty. The great day of God Almighty. Does that sound like peace on earth to you? You're not building the kingdom of God upon earth. It's a heavenly kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is what's going to be on earth. When Jesus and John the Baptist preached, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was. If the Jews had accepted their Messiah, he would have still had to go to the cross. He still would have had to pay for the sins, and they'd have had 7 years of tribulation, and there would have been the millennium reign, and the kingdom of heaven was at hand. But the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Amen. And you're not going to build the spiritual kingdom on earth. You're not bringing in the millennium reign on earth. You're not setting up. Things aren't going to get better till Jesus Christ returns. We're in no evolution. It's devolution. We're on our way down. We're on our way down. Revelation 14, 17 to 20 says, and they say out unto him, excuse me, let me get over there. I'm sorry. Revelation 14. 17 to 20, and another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle, and another angel came out of the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sickle, and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. The wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city. And blood came out of the winepress, even onto the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. 175 miles of blood. 175 miles of blood, 5 feet high. Go do your math. It says by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Lord have mercy. Where's that peace? That's the problem. You want to love God like you love a man. You have to love God like he's God. God said, if you love me, you obey me. And when you obey God, then he says, listen, my son's obeying me. He loves me. Amen. And I'm telling you, these peace preachers are agents of the devil. And they'll have you preaching peace and marching for peace. And these same people are preaching about the baby Jesus. Oh, how gentle and meek my old Jesus Christ is, the baby. Well, I got news for them. Jesus Christ is all grown up now. He's not a baby in a manger. And the last eyewitness to see him was the Apostle John. And this is what the Apostle John said. The Apostle John said over in Revelations 1, chapter 12, through verse 17, he says, And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about with the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, and as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. It was louder than Niagara Falls. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his confidence was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Amen. John the Apostle, at the Lord's Supper, laid upon the Lord's breast. He saw him in person. He knew him personally. But when he saw that glorified Jesus Christ, he fell as dead. People saying, I can't wait to get to heaven so I can run up and hug Jesus. You're going to fall down dead. You're going to be so frightened at the glory of God. Amen. And then Jesus is going to reach down and you know he's going to say, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. Amen. They want you to keep your focus on Jesus, the baby in the manger, because if he's still in the manger, there won't be any judgment. We can do what we want, teach what we want, say what we want. Lord, have mercy. Jesus Christ is all grown up now. I can't stand a mealy-mouthed preacher. He's sissified preacher. Won't take a stand, won't stand for what he believes, and won't believe what he stands for. It's a shame. He's afraid of more ridicule. Wouldn't put that NIV down out of his church. Wouldn't tell them people to put that NIV down with them other Bibles, the New Living Bible, and all those Bibles, because he's more afraid of the ridicule of his peers than he is to God. Payday someday, you mealy-mouthed preacher. You need to put those Bibles down. You need to stand up for God. God needs some men, not some sissies out there. We're in an age where God needs men. Amen. You call Paul the apostle to the Gentiles. Listen, God's got a spokesman for every age. And a spokesman for the age when Moses was Moses. And then you had Joshua. And in the New Testament, you have Paul. And you have Paul from Romans to Philemon. He gave you the doctrines of the Christian. You need to live by them. You need to listen to God's spokesman. God's going to fix those people. For lying to you, my brethren, those preachers, God's going to have his day. He says they'll laugh at their calamity. They'll have his day, all right? I don't want to be on none of their shoes. I don't even want to be on a football field around them. Lord have mercy. Payday someday. the tribulation and Armageddon, which is prophesied and which is future and which is near, is going to make the Jewish Holocaust of World War II look like a preview for Monday Night Football. The main event's about to come. The main event's about to start. I want you to read it with me. I don't want to just preach it to you. I don't want to just tell it to you, but I want you to read it. I want you to go to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah 63 with me. Take your time. Go to Isaiah 63. Lord have mercy. I don't know what they're preaching out there anymore. You'll just love each other today. Listen, Isaiah 63, verses 1 to 6. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Listen, that's the Lord. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone. He went to the cross alone. And of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart. That's God talking. And the year of my redeemed is come. Oh, Lord have mercy. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength in the earth. Does that sound like peace on earth? You have fear of God, you fear God, and then you serve your own gods. Lord, where's the peace? Where is the peace in those verses? He said, Lord, have mercy. I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. Oh, Lord Almighty, these same undercover agents of the devil, they're preaching. And I told you I don't like those mealy-mouthed preachers. They're preaching peace by telling you it doesn't matter what name you call God. We can all get along, but we have the same God. It's just a different name. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie right out of the devil's tongue. It's a lie conceived in the deepest pits of hell. Listen, there isn't a devil alive who doesn't believe in the one and only God. James chapter 2, verse 19 says, thou believest there is one God, thou do as well. The devils also believe and tremble. Lord have mercy. The devils believe. We don't have the same God. Those preachers are telling you it doesn't matter what name you call God. And you know what? They're telling you you're calling on the same God. And I'm telling you it's a lie. It's a lie. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:24 says, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive it. Matthew 1:21 says, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I don't care what anybody's telling you, my friend, my brother, the Bible says that they are calling on anybody other than Jesus Christ. They are calling on another God. Buddha is not Jesus Christ. Muhammad is not Jesus Christ. Russell, Baal, and Moon, and the Dalai Lama, Mary Eddie Baker, they are not Jesus Christ. They are not Jesus Christ. Go over to 2 Corinthians with me, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians, we'll run over there. I wanted to take a break, but I just want to finish this out. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You got the devil on the run now. 2 Corinthians 6, look at verses 14 to 18. Tells you a little bit about those people. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come out from among them. You're not the fellowship with those people. That's what he's saying. They don't have the same God, and they are not worshiping the same God of the Bible. Can't we all just get along? No. Paul said, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. It doesn't matter what name you call God. It doesn't matter what name you call Jesus Christ. Listen, Buddha cannot be Jesus Christ. Muhammad cannot be Jesus Christ. Moon cannot be Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead on the third day, and those people are not Jesus Christ. Those people are in the graves. They are dead. They are dead. They are dead. Their bodies are in the grave. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15 says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. Listen, Paul says, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, the devil's ministers, also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. We can all get along. We all worship the same God. We call him Allah. You call him Buddha. Hey, listen, you can't even sing those songs with joy in your heart. Who could sing that? Jesus lives. What a friend we have in Jesus. Try and sing what a friend you have. What a friend we have in Buddha. Are you kidding me? Listen, it doesn't go. There's no joy in it from the Holy Spirit. Lord have mercy. Listen, toleration. The world's screaming, we got to tolerate. Listen, we do not have to tolerate in the sense that they're talking. We don't all have to. Listen, all we have to do is, you want to be an Islamist? That's fine. Believe what you want to believe. If I want to be a Christian, I'll believe what I want to believe. But don't force your religion on me, and don't ask my religion on you. And I understand. That's tolerance. Lord have mercy. Calling things that are against the will of God, the politicians of today, and saying that it's okay because it fits in the rationale of society. We want to have gay marriages, and we want to marry people of the same sex. Listen, what's next? If you can marry a same-sex person, the purpose of marriage biblically is for procreation. It was established by God Almighty. He established three unions. He established three institutions. One is marriage. The second is government. And the third is the church, and Jesus Christ tells you that what the purpose of the church is. The Bible tells you what the purpose of government is. The purpose of government is to restrain sin. And government is so corrupt today that we have laws that say it's okay to do the things that are against the will of God. It's a shame. If you can marry a man and you can marry a woman, then what's next? Who's going to step up and say they want to marry their horse? There is no definition of marriage. And I love my horse. Who's going to stop them? Lord have mercy. Listen, you don't know your enemy. You don't know your enemy. The devil's your enemy, and he's got aliases. Let me give you a few names of the aliases of the devil. He's called the devil. He's called Lucifer. He's the destroyer. He's called Belial, the dragon, the father of liars, tempter, the evil one. As a roaring lion, Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He roams around. He's a counterfeiter as a roaring lion. That old serpent, the accuser of our brethren. Some of you don't even know what that means. I'm going to tell you what it means. He accuses you to you when you sin. If you wouldn't have done that if you loved God. And then he accuses God to you. Well, if God loved you, you wouldn't have done that. And then he goes before God and he says, look at your son, what he's done. He's the accuser of the brethren. And thank God that when you confess your sins and you're saved man, Jesus Christ can say, no, it's under the blood. Hallelujah. The accuser. Here's some more names of your enemy. Angel of light, prince of darkness, Beelzebub, the opposer, Apollyon, Abaddon, prince of this world, the adversary, the wicked one, prince of the power of the air, queen of heaven, Baal, son of perdition, the idol shepherd. Listen, Jesus Christ is the shepherd, the great shepherd. Your enemy is known as the man of sin, the prince of Tyrus. Some people think people are still walking around saying Satan's an angel. Go read Ezekiel. Says he was a cherub. Doesn't say he was an angel. Doesn't say angels have wings. Cherubs and seraphims have wings. Where have you ever seen, where have you ever seen in the Bible where it says that an angel showed up with a set of wings? Gabriel in the Islamic religion has 600 wings. What are they talking about? Angels don't have wings. Seraphim have wings. Cherub have wings. Here's another name of your enemy. Father of the children of pride. Father of the children of pride. And you know about that pride. You want to go out and say you're proud of your sons and your daughter. No, you're pleased with your sons and daughter. God said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. He did not say I'm proud of him. That was the destruction of Satan. He got power in his heart. His pride caused him to fall. He was well pleased. God said he was well pleased. That pride out of your heart. Father of the children of pride. Going to go to party on the weekend and stand around a water cooler on Monday morning bragging about your sins, what you did over the weekend. That's pride. That's pride. Refusing to tell somebody about Jesus Christ because what they might think about you. You're afraid to tell them. Because pride, your pride. Pride will get you caught if you're unsaved in hell. And pride will get you in trouble with the Lord if you're saved. You better get rid of that pride. Here's another name, Son of the Morning. That's the devil. Beast, Leviathan, the dragon, the prince of Persia, the cover and cheru, king of Tyrus, the Assyrian. You think I'm wrong about that? Is that what you're saying? You think I'm wrong that Satan, he's not an angel? Well, you go over to Ezekiel and you'll find out that in the beginning there was five cheru, and one of them was there, and he was covering the throne. And when you get to Revelations chapter, and you find out when you're reading in Revelations, there's only four. Where'd the fifth one go? If people don't study your Bible, you need to compare Scripture with Scripture. You need a pastor to tell you those things. Stop patting you on the head. There's a time to love. There's a time to correct. There's a time to water. There's a time to lead the sheep. But there's also a time to correct. There's a time for admonishment. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know some of these people, you allow Satan into your lives? Don't you know that the enemy uses religion as a weapon? Listen to some of the religions in the world that he's created. Scientology. Scientology. If you're a Scientologist, listen to this. You're worshiping Satan. He created that religion. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the light. Baal. Theosophy. Buddhism. Hinduism. Taoism. Mohammedism. Confucianism. Transcendental meditation. Moorism. Judaism. He's using Judaism. Where? Well, look at the Catholic Church. What do you have? A mixture of Judaism, Christianity, and paganism. You have the Church of Satan, unity, science of mind, Christian science, metaphysics, voodoo. These are all religious institutions that the Satan uses. Hare Krishna, Jehovah's Witness, spiritualism, gay church, oriental mysticism, Rosicrucians, reincarnation, study of astrology. Listen, God gave you astronomy, not astrology. ESP, Ouija boards. It's just a game. And you bring that stuff into your house for your children to play. It's not just a game. The spirit's behind that. And then you wonder why your children are in trouble. You bring idols into your home. There's spirits connected to those idols. And they're not from God. Oh, it's just a tiki. Ouija boards, tarot cards, palmistry. Black magic. Listen, those are all the religions of Satan. All the religions. Now, let's talk about some of the tactics. Some of the tactics. Number one, Satan tries to kill the Christian with crazy impulses. He tries to destroy the Christian's testimony. He tries to make Christians doubt they're really saved. He brings subtle persecution through friends and relatives. And one of his greatest tools is discouragement. And he can discourage a pastor who's been preaching for years. And if he can do that, you better be on guard. Here's a false church's identification. Let me show you how to identify a false church. They deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. They deny the deity of Christ as the Creator. They deny the blood atonement. They deny the blood. They deny the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. They deny the second coming of Christ. They deny the Bible as the inspired word of God, and they want you to believe there's something older and better. They deny the everlasting punishment in the lake of fire for the unsaved. And they deny Jesus came in the flesh. Hey, listen, that's not something new to deny the lake of fire. Ezekiel, go over to Ezekiel with me. Come on, my brethren. I know I've been going a little wild here, but amen. God's got a point. Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20. Listen, I'm trying to give you something that you're not going to get on television. No televangelist is going to tell you that. You won't send them any money. Go over and look at Ezekiel 20. I'd like to know when's the last time you came under conviction. Listen to a televangelist. Ezekiel 20, verse 45. Moreover, the word of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, came unto me saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the south and drop thy word toward the south and prophesy against the forest of the south field and say to the forest of the south, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee and every dry tree. The flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein. And all flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then said I, this is what they're going to say. Ah, Lord God, they say to me, does he not speak in parables? It's not true. It's just a parable. That's what they're saying. There's nothing new to deny the word of God. That's what they're doing. It's a parable. Let's paraphrase it. Let's not take it literal. Because if we take it literal, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to have to look out for going to hell. We got predestination. Don't worry about it. Get some Calvinists around. They'll help you out. You know what they're going to tell you? Predestination. The Almighty God chose somebody before the world began, before creation. He decided who was going to heaven and who was going to hell, and he chose them. Come on. You know, you need to wake up. You need to read 1 Peter. Get that election thing right. Here it says, then said I, ah, Lord God. And they say of me, does he not speak parables? Lazarus and the rich man is not a parable. It's a true story. God does not use personal names in a parable. And Lazarus' name was used. And that rich man was in hell. And you know why he didn't know his name? He didn't use his name? Because he was none of his. He never knew him. Lord have mercy. They're stuck in world philosophy. Here's another thing Satan uses, world philosophy. World philosophy. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know, all philosophy comes down to two things. All philosophy comes down to two things. The Epicureans. Hey, they were in Athens, the Epicureans. They were around in Paul's time. They were around before Paul. The Epicureans say, if it feels good, do it. And the second step of philosophy is the Stoics. I don't feel any pain. It's all mind over matter. That's what all world philosophy boils down to, Epicureanism and Stoicism. Lord said, Paul said, the scriptures tell you, beware, be aware, beware, be aware. Get alert. Look around you, lest any man spoil you. I'm going to spoil you through philosophy, lover of wisdom, philosophy, and vain deceit after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You came a long way, baby. You know, I grew up in that generation, Virginia Slim commercial. Remember it? Yeah, you came a long way. She sure did. She came a long way. Her skirt went from her ankles to her hips. Walking around with a burlesque show. Put something over that. Nobody wants to see that stuff. Lord have mercy. What are you telling people? Don't you know the way you dress tells people who you are? What you attract? What you're saying? You're a Christian. You represent God. You're an ambassador. You got to dress like one. Lord have mercy. Have it your way. You deserve a break today. Have it your way. Bible doesn't say that. Without me, you can do nothing. Lord only helps those that help themselves. Without me, you can only do nothing. Lord have mercy. Here's another one. They do. The use Platonism. Platonism. You know, Plato thought, philosophy, that things in the world are exact as they are in the spiritual world, so we can reach the spiritual world through an icon or an image. The material world mirrors the spiritual. That's a lie. It's a lie. That's why there's so much spiritualism today. Let no man beguile you. Colossians 2:18, let no man beguile you. Your reward in the voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up with his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, Jesus Christ, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Let no man beguile you. Don't listen to him. Don't you know somebody's preaching to you? Asceticism. Asceticism. Here's another one. Asceticism. Monasticism. Self-punishment. At the sacrifice by punishing myself to earn my way to heaven. No such thing in the Bible. Can't earn my way to heaven. Simon Stylitus. Did you ever hear of Simon Stylitus? Well, let me tell you a little story, my friends. Simon Stylitus, he lived about 390 to 459 A.D. And he wanted to be spiritual. So he built a pillar that was 10 feet tall off the ground with a platform on it so he could be more spiritual and get closer to God. And then later he built a second platform about 22 feet. And then he went 43. And then he went higher. And so he got so spiritual, he went to up to 40 feet with a 3x4x3 platform for 20 years. And he slept sitting and standing. And one day, he made 1,244 genuflections because he thought by exposing himself to rain and to sleet and to snow, he could please God enough to get himself into heaven. And he died at 69 years of age. And someone climbed up there to check on him. And there he was. He was dead. He was dead. And the Roman Catholics today worship Simon Stylitus as a patron of saints, as the flagpole patron. And brother, you need to know who your enemy is. Before we go off the air this evening, I want you to know the names of your Lord. I want you to know the names of Jesus Christ. They are not the same names as Satan. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is priest and prophet. I am Emmanuel, Governor, the Branch, the True Vine, the Messiah, the Son of Man, Angel of the Lord, Savior, Wonderful Counselor, the Last Adam, the Only Potentate, Mediator, Jesus Christ, Son of God, name above all names, the Rock, the Rose of Sharon, Alpha and Omega, rooted offspring of David, bright and morning star, the Amen. Lord God, the way, the truth, the life, the first begotten Son, firstborn of the dead, Christ the firstfruits, Son of the highest, great arm of the Lord, second person in the Trinity, Son of righteousness, kinsman redeemer, the Word of God, the light, full of grace and truth, friend, gift giver, glory, deliverer out of Zion, Son of David, salvation, he that liveth and were dead, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, those are the names of Jesus Christ. He is all and all, Alpha and Omega and every letter between. Lord have mercy. Brother Andy?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, brother. I'm preached up.
Yeah, I just want to say it was wonderful. Listen, ladies and gentlemen out there across the world and wherever you might be right now, you know, I've mentioned this many times before to people. God doesn't promise us tomorrow. Let me explain that to you. If you're saved, I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven today, you're going to be left tomorrow if you haven't received the Lord. So if you want to receive, this is the first day in your life. Listen to Brother Peter. He's a wonderful man of God. He's very, very knowledgeable, extremely knowledgeable. He knows what he's talking about, ladies and gentlemen. So just repeat after me. I want you to take the Lord into your heart right now. Repeat after me. I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that came to earth, died and was buried, and on the third day he arose again and was seen by 500 people or more. You want to know something, ladies and gentlemen? Let me tell you, our brothers and sisters out there, whatever. The Lord loves you. Jesus Christ loves you above all things. You have no problems. Give them to the Lord as he says. We love you. We love you out there, and I give my Lord in heaven. Dr. Peter, you were wonderful tonight, and I thank you. My wife, Winona, thanks you too. It's been a pleasure listening to you. God bless you all, and I pray that millions have come to the Lord tonight. Good evening.
Thank you, Brother Ranhosky, Andrew Ranhosky from North Carolina. Wonderful brother. Thank you for that invitation. And you can call in right now to the station. We've kind of held out a little bit. If you're on the Internet, there's a blog spot there you can go to. We'll give you a few minutes here, 347-945-5416. You know, Nathan on the spot gave this spot to the Sound Doctrine program. It says it's a three-hour spot. I like to keep it down to an hour, but I'd certainly like to give anybody who didn't have an opportunity to call in to please call in, 347-945-5416. Press extension 1, and they'll get you right into the host. And we can answer a question for you. If you've emailed me, I'll answer your emails later. I can't get to them right now while we're on the air. I want to apologize for last week for the technical difficulties we had. And we understand, and we hope you'll understand, that these broadcasts are live. Nothing's planned and nothing's pre-prepared except for the message as the Lord gives it. And we're grateful for the listening audience. We thank the Lord Jesus Christ for this ministry, for Nathan, and for the church in Orangeburg, South Carolina, which truly loves the Lord Jesus Christ and is a pillar. D.L. and Brother Raymond, and I want to thank my wife Marilyn for supporting me in the things that the Lord would have me do, and to encourage me when I sometimes it can be tough. And I encourage the listening audience, if you do not know Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. The Bible says no man has to go to hell. It's a choice you make. You can't make your way there. You cannot earn your way there. And if you could, Jesus Christ would not have died on the cross for you. He loved you before you even knew him. And he's waiting for you. And you don't have to go get all cleaned up. I don't have to quit everything I'm doing. And when I do all that, I'll go to the Lord. You come to the cross as you are. We all came there. Every one of us who are saved, we were lame, we were maimed, and we were blind. And we came to the cross of Jesus Christ, and we knelt down, and we asked Jesus Christ to forgive us our sins. We've broken the laws of God, and we need to pay. Somebody needs to sin as has an eternal punishment. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's an eternal punishment. And Brother Andrew has prayed with you. If you received that prayer, if you prayed that prayer and asked the Lord Jesus Christ, you surrendered your heart to the Lord, if you've repented and you've come to Jesus Christ this evening, we'd love to hear you. We'd love to get some literature to you to help you to grow. Please feel free to contact us. I'm going to turn this program back over to Brother Nathan. Nathan on the spot. And we just thank you, brother, and the Lord bless you. You have a good evening. Lord bless you all until I hear from you next week. Amen.
Sometimes I feel like giving up. It seems like my best just ain't good enough. Lord, if you hear me, I'm calling you. Do you see, do you care all about what I'm going through? And then he said, one more day, one more step. See, I'm preparing you for myself. And when you can't hear my voice, please trust my plan. I'm the Lord I see, and yes, I understand. But sometimes I feel like I'm all alone. I'm just like a stranger so far from home. I feel like I've done all that I can do. Please, Lord, give me strength. I'm just trying to make it through. That's when he told. I won't forget, nor have I forgot. You see, everything works according to my plan. I am God, trust me, I got the whole world in my hands. Understand.